House Bill 3403A, Sharon Caldwell. Good afternoon. Oh, wait, Kristen Grainer, why don't you come on up, too? Is Kristen back in the room? Okay, sorry, come on in.
Somebody else
come? Good afternoon. Yeah. We'll expedite things a little bit here, okay? Good afternoon. Welcome to the committee.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Sharon Caldwell. I live at 201 Vina Drive, Newburgh, Oregon. And I'm very happy to be addressing the Honorable Vern Duncan. Have followed your career for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Know that you're an expert on education. And also the other honorable...
many years.
Well, not that many. and the other honorable members of the committee. I know how hard you work, and I admire very much what you're doing. And I don't know how many people are signed up for this bill. I guess it was hot today, or they don't have the Freon level set in their car yet, or their kids haven't been shot. But I guess there were more testifiers at the other hearing, and I was not able to testify, so I feel very privileged to be able to testify today. And I brought with me the Criminal Code of Oregon, which I think is the bottom line on this issue. What we're talking about here are kids and teachers, and fine people who devote their lives to educating the principals of schools being shot. It's not a fun subject. And I did give you this handout, which I am going to hand out to all of the members of the Senate. And I'm going to read it. It is a little bit departing from my written testimony.
You know, if it would be helpful to us.
What would it be
if
helpful?
If you just sort of paraphrase.
Okay, kind of paraphrase
because
it.
Because we do have. We have
there is a lot of violence within the walls of schools. And the one that put me over the edge was the hazing that takes place in middle school, and it's called the swirly. And that is where, and I've asked kids to demonstrate a swirly to me in the cheese department at Fred Meyer. And they showed me how it was done, and the kid comes in, usually he's a sixth grader, and he has his head forced into a toilet bowl. And then the toilet is flushed. He's lifted up by two or three older kids. And, boy, if that doesn't do something to your self-concept, I don't know what would. And this is commonplace.
Freshman.
Yeah. Now this
fraternity
would,
initiation.
Yeah. This would fall under, the reason I brought the criminal code is this falls under reckless endangerment. This is a violation of the law. And I'm sort of, you know, giving you a synopsis
right.
of the testimony here. This is what amazes me. These are all violations of the law of the Criminal Code of Oregon. And as you know, a youth is subject to all of the laws that adults are. But they are then dealt with under the juvenile code. And so if you take a kid and you shove his head into a toilet bowl, which is a hard surface, you could break his teeth, you could break his nose, you could really hurt him, and that would fall under, that is a crime that is being committed by juvenile delinquents against that child. And that is called reckless endangering. 163195, a person commits the crime of reckless endangering another person if the person recklessly engages in conduct which creates a substantial risk of serious physical injury to another person. Recklessly endangering another person is a Class A misdemeanor. Now, it is inconceivable for any of us to imagine adults doing this to another adult, you would be toast. If you did this in a bar, the police would be called. Now, The Attorney General has recognized the problem of school violence caused by bullying, and I can give you many other examples because I have two kids. My daughter's now 30. She witnessed bullying all through her years at Newburgh High, X-Acto knives and fingernail files and so on and so forth, being jabbed at people. And by the way, those are also considered dangerous weapons under the Oregon Criminal Code. So, and then my son was bullied all the way through grade school and high school. He's now 17. And I personally have witnessed bullying myself at Newburgh Middle School. And I feel that what's happening is that the laws pertaining to drug enforcement, if you're carrying and you found and marijuana is found on your person, they call the police and you're out of there. You go to alternative school or whatever. If you hurt another person with a dangerous weapon, you bring a gun to school, but yet you have all of these other laws. These are all laws under the criminal code that, were they committed by adults, would be considered assault in the fourth degree, assault in the third degree.
Then are you suggesting that if we were to adopt the bill before us, it would add to the laws, technically, that would help school districts maybe take a look at those laws and create more enforcement? Is that kind of...
What I'm asking is, why aren't these laws being enforced? And you will also be asked to vote on House Bill 3429, which will create a task force down at the University of Oregon to come up with some ideas of what to do to keep this, because what's happening is the kids are getting their heads shoved in toilet bowls. I'll just use that as an example. And that goes on for so many months, and you can only take so much. Would you like that in your work atmosphere, to have some people come and put your head in the toilet bowl or say terrible things about you?
We understand here.
Yeah, we don't want that kind of a work atmosphere. And I entitled my testimony, Schools Without Walls, because I feel that high school kids and kids in middle school need to understand that they are citizens of their neighborhoods. They're not exempt just because they're in within the walls of a school.
I guess my question to you then is,
what should we do?
Okay. We have before us 3403.
Yeah.
Do you support it?
Yes, sir. I certainly do. I think it's a good start.
Okay.
And what it does, as far as what can we do to fix it, my son now attends Wilsonville High, and they have a police officer in an office in the school.
Well, I think,
and he's uniformed, and he walks around in the school, and I think that's what we need.
I think that the plan, as I understand this one, it leaves it to the school district to determine how they're going to deal with it.
Right. I'm just giving you what my idea would be.
Right.
Okay. That's about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Kristen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Kristen Granger, Office of Attorney General Hardy Myers. I will be shockingly brief. The Attorney General sends his regards and his support of House Bill 3403, engrossed. The report that his coalition formed and delivered to the legislature in March does make many recommendations around what can be done to ensure greater safety in schools, but what I'd like to do, I know Representative Nolan gave you some national statistics, so I'd like to give you briefly some local statistics in Oregon. 1 in 5 Oregon adolescents reported carrying a weapon to school. The report also indicated that harassed students were more likely to carry weapons to school. In Oregon, 1/3 of the students surveyed reported being harassed at school in the previous 30 days, and 7% of students reported being physically threatened or injured during the previous 12 months. 13% of Oregon students surveyed reported being in a physical fight at school during the previous 12 months. And these kind of statistics are what led to many recommendations associated with a reduction in school violence or further ensuring safety at school. This bill would be an important step toward that. Again, not a cure, But these statistics, coupled with the identification of bullying, harassment, and intimidation as being one of the top concerns of Oregon school administrators, would urge your approval of this legislation. And and there are two other bills coming to you from the House of Representatives dealing with this.
Okay. Kristen, do you have some amendments?
No,
sir.
You
have no amendments. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ms. Caldwell, I want to thank you for the package you put together. There's some interesting information.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
and
that.
Thank you for your work. I know how hard you work.
It's a good chronology here. I think that's not a good one.
No.
But it's factual.
You want any more shooting?
We appreciate that. Are there any others who wish to testify on House Bill 3403? Okay, hearing none. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3403A. I'm trying to think for a minute. Maybe I'll go back to the session first. I'm going to open the work session on Senate Bill 502, and that's the one dealing with the speed limits. Open it for discussion from committee members in the direction that the committee, as I said, I'm going to let the committee flow on this one.
I'll start off then, Mr. Chair. I would support Senate Bill 502 with the dash one amendments because it does have the truck limitation in it, as well as the enforcement aspect of it. And it's clear since they've been working with the governor's office that this is a closer direction to raising the speed limit that would be effective. And I think if we're going to do it, we want to have something that works for everyone, for law enforcement and for citizens. And so I would support the dash ones.
Is that a... Did you move dash one amendments?
I haven't yet. You just kind of want a discussion of kind of where we were, so...
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yes, with all due respect to the Vice Chair, I would be supporting Senator Miller's bill as introduced and opposing the dash one amendment.
Oppose the dash one.
Mr. Chairman, I can support the dash one amendments.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, again, in respect, I do not support the dash one amendments, but I would vote for the original bill.
So you get to decide, Mr. Chair.
I love this power position. I'll accept a motion on the dash one amendments.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 502.
Senator Metzger moves the dash one amendments to 502. Is there any discussion? Senator Metzger.
And I thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think this is quite a movement. I think it needs much more discussion, much more work. It does not fit all areas. Making specific speed limits in certain zones is a size one fits all, and I do not approve that at all. There's some aspects of it, such as the speed limit for trucks, I think does make sense, but I don't think I just don't think this bill is ready with those dash ones at this time.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I will save you the time and just reiterate what Senator Mesley said.
Okay. Well, the dash one amendments fail. Okay. And I might just comment since obviously I was the vote here that did it. At this point, I don't know that I'm really comfortable with either one at this particular point, but we'll see. All right.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 502 to, is this Ways and Means, or does this go to the floor? Then I move Senate Bill 502 to the Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Metzger moves 502 to the Ways and Means Committee. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Yeah. I have.
You object?
Yeah.
And you object? Okay. I'm going to vote to send it to the Ways and Means Committee. And by the way, reserve the right when it comes to the floor, if and when it ever does, to be able to vote no on it. 502 will be sent to the floor, or to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. I'm going to now open a work session, or close the work session on 502, open the work session on 3403.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendments.
Senator Metzger moves the, Senator Metzger moves the dash three amendments. Is there any discussion? Okay. Any objection? Dash three amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I have before you the dash four and dash five amendments, so I think for our discussion purposes, I'll move the dash five amendments.
Senator Metzger moves the dash five amendments.
And
Senator, is there any discussion?
I'll introduce those amendments. Mr. Chair, this committee, prior to its reincarnation, heard Senate Bill 85, which dealt with the safety of transporting students in school buses and passenger vehicles. As you know, that bill passed the Senate 25-2, and we heard just yesterday morning that that bill had reached a stall or something greater than that in the House. And so I looked at this bill and looked at the issues that had been discussed previously, and especially in light of the school bus accident that we had last week and some of the comments that were reported that because of the bus was a newer bus, the injuries likely would have been more severe had it been an older bus. I think it really emphasized, I think, the wisdom of the committee and the Senate floor in saying that we need to phase these buses out. The dash five amendments before you are essentially, to the word, Section 2 of Senate Bill 85. It does not have the element of the instruction for drivers. My hope was this morning, and putting this together quickly, was to find something that there was unanimity on in terms of the discussion and with some of the parties involved to try and pass that part of the bill in which the discussion was positive and would have the least resistance at this point, and then as we could talk about some of those other elements prior to the end of session. So that's why I've introduced it, I think it's an important public policy decision. I know the comments were made in the committee that, you know, our children are most important. I know we have representatives from the school boards here to talk about this. Another aspect of introducing it as a dash five amendment is that the language is verbatim from a bill that we previously have debated and discussed and analyzed, so it's not a new element, but it does narrow the focus. I know there was some concern that was expressed in some of the school districts on that. I did go back, Mr. Chair, and listen to our tape of March 8th of this year on the testimony when the agreement was made for Senate Bill 85. It was pointed out, since you weren't part of the committee there, Mr. Chair, that there was 132 at that time school buses built prior to 1977 did not meet federal highway safety standards. It was something that I had forgotten in the committee that in listening to the audio tape, the testimony, Mr. Bennett, representing the School Board Association, pointed out that 68 of those 132 were actually used as spares. So there really wasn't that many that were actually involved with the transportation of students as it was. Hillsborough had a number of these, and it says that they were, Mr. Bennett testified, they were phasing those out at approximately 10 a year, and the quote was, they can all be phased out in the next 4 to 5 years. But as we came back to committee for the work session, we even added another year and a half to that, in it, even though they would supposedly be off the road in 05, to make that in the year 2007. And as you might remember, there were some comments that from Senator Courtney and I think Senator Carter and others was, you know, even 07 was a long time to wait to get these buses off when we know that don't meet federal safety standards. So I think, Mr. Chair, that is a minimum that we can do, and especially in light of the wake-up call that we had last week with the accident that we did have, I think we need to do the entire thing, frankly. But I felt at this stage with a committee and having this at the last moment to take the path of least resistance. And at this point, it may not be there may still be too much resistance, but I think it's an issue that we need to publicly discuss. And I would like any comments from the committee on it, and I would very much like Tricia Smith and maybe the school boards to come and talk about this, because I think there's a lot of disappointment in the body that that these elements that we supported so strongly have stalled over on the House side. If that's
okay.
Be your pleasure, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Thornhill.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I will not be supporting the dash five amendments, but Senator Metzger brings up a good point that I remember in testimony there was a lot of discussion I would just share with you, since you weren't here, that there was a lot of discussion about the need to phase these buses out in a timely manner. And there was also discussion about the local districts and their ability to be able to do this. So there was a lot of discussion about this issue and phasing it out. So, but I still do not want to add these five amendments to the bill.
Okay. Other comments?
I want to make some comments. I want to wait until you're here. Or either
go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just think that we're looking at basic standards here for the safety of our kids, and it appears to me that many times that as legislators and as special interests, we apply these basic standards to the safety of our own family, but when we start talking about our school districts, we don't want to apply the basic standards. And to me, what is good for the goose should be good for the gander as well. And especially when you think of when at the school bus accident last week, it was specifically said that had this not been a newer bus with the higher seats, with the padded seating, that we would have seen something much more disastrous than what we saw. And it seemed to make sense to me that, and I am completely understanding of the fact that we are faced with many different decisions to make in our school districts, and programmatically with academic kind of things as well. But at the same time, just one big major accident could wipe any one of our school districts out. And it just seemed to me that we should be cautious on the safe side of this issue, both in terms of the liability issue as well as the lives of our children. So I just think that when you start looking at cars or buses that are a quarter of a century old, that we're just asking for trouble. And I think it offends me as a mother, as a grandmother, and as a great-grandmother with kids in school that we don't want to, you know, do what is necessary to, you know, to look after their safety. So I would be voting for the -5 amendments with that in mind. So I just like to see us get on with deciding what we're going to do in the best interest of our children in this state.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Mesley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think there's anyone in this building or probably in the state that is not concerned about the safety of students and how we transport them and all those issues. However, I think that we should be encouraging the districts to, and I think we are already, but to use them as spare buses and to get them out of the system as fast as they can. And my concern is in a district where our schools are losing enrollment rapidly, some of them 75 to 100 students per year, that this simply is an issue that they can't deal with right now. They're simply trying to survive. This has been a decline in enrollment that's been going on for 15, 20 years. They're trying to get a hold of themselves and manage their finances. I'm also concerned when we react too rapidly to accidents such as we had last week. When we hear terms such as likely, it was a reason why there weren't more students injured and those kinds of things. I think we need to study the situation, and we've heard other incidents where they were hit by a train or something. You know, sometimes I wonder if they were in a tank, if you wouldn't have had an accident. I mean, there'd been injuries, and so I think we need to put it in perspective and keep it in balance. We all face risks every day, everything we do, but we need to keep it in perspective, and that's not to say that we shouldn't move forward as fast as we can and as appropriately as we can to have safe environments for our students and everyone else in society, for that matter. But I'm going to be a no vote simply because it does put my districts in a very, very difficult position, and they're already in a very difficult position.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Why don't I quickly, Trish, and who's going to be representative, Chuck or Jim? Why don't you guys come up? And I think just a brief comment from you to get it on the record would be fine. But I really would. I'm watching the clock, and I really would like to.
Yeah, you're about 5 o'clock.
Yeah. We will be.
It's going to be the longest meeting we've had yet.
Yes, I know, and the fewest bills.
Mr. Chairman. My name is Chuck Bennett. I want to correct the record. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators, not the School Boards Association. The School Boards Association has not taken a position on this bill. positively, and certainly they can speak for themselves. But yes, I've answered a number of questions on this bill, and very difficult questions. This is not an easy issue. I've been asked to answer questions in the press since this sad accident. I think I would like to associate with the comments of Senator Messerly regarding quick reaction, but I would also like to just take you to a couple of things. In the Oregonian today, Deborah Lincoln, the pupil transportation director of the Department of Education, and I quote, says the department has the authority to order retirement of the old buses, but has met with resistance from school districts on the issue. I just ask you to take a look at the statutory language I've given you on page one of the statute at 820.100, adoption of safety standards for construction equipment of school vehicles rules. One, sub one, the State Department of Education shall adopt and enforce such reasonable standards relating to school bus and school safety vehicle construction and school bus and school activity vehicle equipment as the board deems necessary for safe and economical operation. On page two of what I've given you, which is labeled page 391 of the Oregon Revised Statutes, you will find 820.110, rules for driver qualification and training and accident reports, sub one. The State Board of Education shall adopt and enforce rules to establish requirements of operation qualifications or special training of drivers and special accident reports for school buses and school activity vehicles. Same page, 820.120, rules for school vehicle inspection. State Board of Education shall adopt and enforce rules to provide for the inspection of school buses and school activity vehicles to assure that the vehicles are in compliance with requirements under rules established under ORS 820.100, 820.110, as applicable, and that the vehicles are safe for operation. The rules may include intervals of inspection. And finally, Mr. Chairman, on the same page, 820.150, rules for exemption of certain vehicles from Oregon Vehicle Code, sub 1. The State Board of Education by rule may establish classes of types of vehicles that are not considered school buses, et cetera. There also is in here 820.140, revocation of registration. The Department of Transportation may revoke the registration of any school bus if the department determines that the vehicle is not maintained and operated in accordance with rules applicable to the vehicle under ORS 100 and 820.120. Or is not safe for operation over or is not safely operated over the public highways. I submit to you, Mr. Chairman, that ample statutory authority exists today to accomplish the goals. Plus, I would just remind you of Senator Metzger's testimony, which is these school buses are leaving the road at a very rapid rate and are being retired very rapidly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Tish.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees Association. OSEA introduced Senate Bill 85, and I am here today to testify in favor of the Dash A5 amendments to House Bill 3403, which takes half of the bill, Senate Bill 85, and brings it into House Bill 3403. I handed out to you a copy of a description of Senate Bill 85, and the first three bullet points describe what this Dash A5 amendment in fact does. The first thing it does, and to Senator Messerly's point, is this amendment adopts a standard established by the National Transportation Safety Board years ago and communicated to our governor and every other governor in the country in 1999 in a letter from the chairman of the NTSB to the governors, strongly encouraging that the governors pass laws in their states doing exactly what the A5 amendment does. The reason that the NTSB, which is the federal agency that studies transportation safety issues, all sorts of transportation safety issues, they've been in the press recently for the Firestone tire issues, for example. They also are in the agency that investigates airline crashes and all sorts of transportation-related crashes. They have studied and studied and studied the issue of student transportation safety. They have studied school buses. They studied school buses in the 1970s as a result of catastrophic school bus accidents that killed large numbers of children. As a result of those, many of them here in Oregon. As a result of those studies, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration in 1977 adopted rules which said school buses must be constructed according to 36 safety standards designed to protect the occupants of those vehicles. They are the most stringent safety requirements of any vehicle on the road. The NTSB says very clearly that they believe that students should be transported in vehicles meeting construction standards because, in the words of the NTSB, our children are our future. Clearly, the Senate in Oregon agrees with that philosophy because it passed overwhelmingly Senate Bill 85. Senate Bill 85, as that handout tells you, and the Dash 5 amendments do three things. They adopt the NTSB standards saying that vehicles with a capacity of 10 or more passengers must meet federal construction safety standards for school buses. It codifies existing Oregon Department of Education rules, making it illegal to use vehicles that do not meet those construction standards for transporting students to and from school activities. There is disagreement between the department and certain school districts about whether or not motor coaches, for example, are legal under the rules. The department believes, and they are their own rules, that they are currently illegal, but they believe that this, and I'm sorry that Ms. Lincoln didn't have the opportunity to come and tell you herself because she wasn't aware of these amendments. They believe that putting the language in the statutes provides more horsepower for their effort to enforce their rules. The Dash 85 amendments get us halfway there. With regard to the bus accident last week, you did hear in the press a great deal of discussion from the transportation director at Sweet Home and others about how the safety features in that bus went a long way toward protecting the children and the other passengers in the bus from serious injury and death. I would submit to you that the other piece that protected those children and passengers from serious injury and death was the training and reaction of the driver of the school bus. School bus drivers have to submit to 32 hours of continuing education every year in order to maintain their certificate as a school bus driver. That training is what allowed the school bus driver to react appropriately when she saw that truck coming at her. As a result of her reaction and the way she handled the bus during the accident, that school bus was able to withstand a near head-on collision from a semi, travel 60 yards down the road without turning over, without leaving the roadway, and that was as a result of her ability to drive.
I think you're right that the training programs, and I, long time Jack Spear, I don't know if you recognize that name, it's a name from the past, but Jack Spear really got the training program going in this state, and long retired and ill health nowadays, but certainly made a difference.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Move on, if that's all right, Trish. Okay, Ken. By the way, I'm just glancing out there, folks, if you want to take a look at your future. Those of you sitting up here, look at the table. Look at that table right there. No, don't look behind you. You guys look at you. Those are all former legislators just sitting there. That's what happens to you when you leave.
Yeah. As if we weren't cheered up enough, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ken Strobeck, representing the Hillsborough School District. I'll be very brief. I just wanted to point out that Hillsborough has, as I think you heard, more of these school buses than any other district. However, they're being used.
You're going to shape up, aren't you?
Pardon me?
You're going to shape up, aren't you?
Mr. Chair, they are being used very carefully on selected routes and, as you heard, as backup vehicles, and they're being replaced as rapidly as possible. But the growth in the Hillsborough School District and Beaverton School District are exceptional. Last year, Senator Messerly mentioned, districts growing 100 to 200. The Beaverton School District grew by 1,100 kids last year, and it's just growing too fast to replace those buses. and it would cost about $1.7 million for Hillsborough without any additional appropriation. That would come out of funds that are used to educate students in the classroom. So without an appropriation, we think this particular bill is inappropriate at this time. I'd also just point out that they're also in the process of having to replace some buses that were purchased in the mid-80s before the 70s buses, because they were trying to economize and they bought buses that are falling apart now, that are actually newer than the pre-77 buses.
Okay. Well, do you have any questions for them right now?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify that my testimony was districts that are losing 175 to 100 students, not gaining. So.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for coming up here. Is there any other discussion? I believe we have Senator Metzger.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
At the moment, I think with the circumstances, I appreciate very much the comments by all the parties on this issue. As I mentioned, it's a very, very critical issue. I know it is with everybody on the committee here. I think at this point, though, I'll withdraw my Dash 5 amendment request to Senate Bill 3403. But okay. Making it clear that the issue isn't over, but I will withdraw the amendment.
Okay, Mr. Senator, I understand where you're coming from, because I think I find myself in an extremely awkward position, too, having been through the whole school bus safety business for many, many, many years. And I go back, and you're talking about when a crisis happens, and I was superintendent at the time, we had the three young people killed on the bus at Lafayette. And I appointed a special safety committee and asked former Congresswoman Edith Green to chair that, because I wanted the credibility that she brought to it. And a lot of changes were made at that time, and as I said, the training programs and so forth went into place, and I think, as Tricia was explaining, that made a big difference. And I think that the law, I was looking through here and looking at those dates of 1983, it takes time to get there, but I recall, I think a lot of that was triggered by the 77 accident. And so a lot of things have happened. A lot more needs to be done. I understand the concern about mixing the two bills right now. I think that there's a definite a group who wants to be sure we get this bullying through, and they're afraid if you tie too many things to it, you could lose it. So, and you're hearing that from both sides of the aisle. But I think, as the senator has said, the importance of school safety is a responsibility that we do have. I was thinking what I might do via the audits committee is to take a good look during the interim, a look at school districts and get some reports of where school buses are and make that information available within local communities, because I think the general public has a right to know what kind of buses you're using, how you're using them. You said in Hillsborough, maybe you're using them a different way. I don't know. But I think that information should be available and should be submitted to the general public, because there is concern about school bus safety. So I would not want it in any way left here today that this committee is not concerned about school bus safety, because obviously we had a chance to vote on this at one point on the Senate floor. And so the concepts of the original bill we're pretty supportive of. And yet right now we're really dealing with another bill today. I understand it's not a dead issue over in the House, and some things might go on over there too, from what I understand. So on that basis, I understand where you're coming from and appreciate it, and probably will concur with you. On the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3403 as amended by the Dash 3s to the floor of the DuPass.
Senator Metzger moves House Bill 3403 as amended to the floor with a DuPass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that bill? Senator Metzger?
No.
Yes, sir. Well, it's one of you. You know. It's one of those M's.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify for the record that I'm supporting the bill, but I'm concerned that there's a whole other issue there. I mean, we have laws that don't it's against the law to harass and to do the things as we had described in testimony. And I guess I really have to ask the question of why it's allowed in the schools right now, why the staffs aren't enforcing it, why if there's those kind of activities going on, someone isn't, the situation's not dealt with. But the bill, although it goes ahead, it does set the policy, There's a big gap there between the policy or the state laws and is it taken care of in the schools and in society. I feel very strongly that the violence we have seen in our schools and in our society of late, last few years, is a crisis. It's a tragedy. And I've been working, as some of you know, on a Senate bill, which we had to pull back because we couldn't get through the Oregon Constitution, but dealt with the violent videos. And I think it's situations like this, and what is it about our society that's causing these kids to hold someone upside down in a toilet and do some of these things, and then why aren't we dealing with it? I think, again, as I've been frustrated for some time, we're bouncing around the edges, and nobody's really diving in and dealing with the core issues.
Senator, I think your points are well taken, and this is an interesting one for me, too, because, as you know, I'm not one who likes to see us micromanaging local school districts, and I would be opposed to it if it definitely did have some definite requirements in here, what should be. But this does give the local districts, it's a good reminder to local districts, you better put your own plans together, and it does leave it to the local control, how it meets the needs of your community. So I will support it. Is there any other discussion?
I would just say, along with what Senator Messerly has said, I really think that we've come a long ways from what we have expected of our teachers. And I didn't exactly go to school in another century, but I did go to school when...
I think it was another century.
Oh, I guess it was. I meant... Okay. Yeah, I guess it was. Yes. All right. I shouldn't have tried to say anything since I'm so tired. But we did... teachers were a lot more strict when I was in school, and I don't want to sound like an old-timer, but we've taken a lot of ability of teachers to... be able to have respect in their classrooms, and we've taken away a lot of the ability of teachers to admonish children without the fear of some sort of a lawsuit. And I think we're going to have to look at that trend and say the teachers do need to be able to, in the classroom, stop bullying when they see it. And I really feel like the teachers today are frightened to do much of anything. I've had teachers tell me, students say that to them, you do anything to me and all my folks will get an attorney. And that's an awful thing for a teacher to have to bear. So hopefully we can change things. And I do know where my grandson goes to school, he's very proud. For 3 years in a row, he's been elected as conflict manager. He came home the first time and says, Grandma, I've been elected just like you. And I said, what does a conflict manager do? And he says, well, the kids that are fighting, we take them to a quiet place and we work it out. Anyway, thank you.
Just keep in mind, Senator Clarnell may take you to a quiet place.
you didn't need to remind me that.
She's so right. I think, I go back to my days as a school principal, I thought nothing of stepping in the middle of a fight. No one was going to hit me. You were the authority figure, and that was a pretty easy thing to do. I just stepped through. Today, I think you think twice before you do that because you just don't know what's going to happen. Is there any other discussion? Okay. Is there any objection to the bill? Okay. House Bill 3403A will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any other business to come before us?
Yes.
Oh, the carrier. Who would like to?
Well, I think you'd be good as a former school superintendent.
I'll carry the bullying bill, the bully bill, but whatever it is, I'll carry it. All right. And let's see, we went to Ways and Means, okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to come before us? If not, we're adjourned for the day. 5 o'clock, folks. Yeah.
Pardon me?
That was good. No, I think it's good. That was very good. Hello. I thought it was...
Okay.
I did.